Praise the Lord.
Alleluia.
Today we speak about the power of His resurrection. And the Bible text is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 and verse 10. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as a rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Amen. In verses 2 to 6, Paul told all of his religious achievements. According to Jewish religion, Paul was perfect and he was faultless. He knew all the laws and he kept them. Everybody who didn't observe the laws as he did was to be killed. They had to die. This is a problem with religion, as we see today and always have seen. Every extremist is dangerous. They have been taken up with their ideologies, and whoever does not agree with their ideology will be persecuted or even killed. We see that throughout history. Whoever didn't agree with the Nazis was killed. Whoever did not agree with the leaders of the Soviet Union has been killed. The same is happening with Muslim and Hindu extremists. They are dangerous. Every form of religious extremism is evil. Additionally, every religion is opposed to Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion. It is God living in you. As a teenager, I was very religious. I read the Bible and prayed every day. I went to church every Sunday. At the same time, I didn't have a relationship with God. I was full of minority problems, and I wondered if God loves me at all. I was not sure about that. To be a Christian was not enjoyable to me. It was boring. To go to heaven was equally boring, but at the same time, I didn't want to go to hell. Many people are religious Christians without any power. They confess to believe in God, but that's all there is. Paul said, all religious endeavor and trying to be perfect is rubbish. It's rubbish and it's worthless. Religion does not bring you closer to God. It alienates you from God. Paul understood that there is no fulfillment in observing religion. Paul had the greatest achievement of Jewish religion. He was honored and he was in big esteem because of his extremism in his religion. Despite these accomplishments, Paul underwent a radical reassessment. He now considered these gains as losses for the sake of Christ. This reflects the conversion experience on the road to Damascus, where he had encountered with Christ and was redeemed. And he redefined his identity and his purpose. There is excellency in knowing Christ. Paul emphasizes the surpassing worth or excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. This knowledge is not merely intellectual, but it's experiential and relational, involving a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul was willingly suffered the loss of all things he once valued, viewing them as refuse or rubbish compared to the gain of Christ. This represents a total reorientation of values and priorities. Paul's re-evaluation highlights the futility of seeking righteousness through personal achievements or adherence to the law. What he once thought to be essential, he now regards as useless. True righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and a theme that he elaborates in the surrounding verses in Philippians 3. The excellency of knowing Christ signifies that a Christ-centered life surpasses all other pursuits. This challenges us as believers to evaluate what we truly value and to prioritize our relationship with Christ above all else. Paul's willingness to suffer loss for the sake of Christ models a sacrificial approach to discipleship. It underscores the call to take up our cross and follow Jesus, letting go of anything that hinders our pursuit of Him. We are viewing earthly achievements as loss reflects the eternal perspective. Paul's focus on the eternal gain of knowing Christ, which redefines how we view success and worth and purpose. So the question remains, what do you value? What is important to you? What plans do you have for the future? Paul's example prompts us to evaluate what we consider gains in our lives. Are there achievements, possessions, or status symbols which you hold higher than the relationship with Jesus Christ? We are called to reorder our priorities. Reorder our priorities, placing Christ at the center. This might involve making difficult decisions, sacrificing personal ambitions, or reorientating our goals to align with God's purposes. Knowing Christ is the highest pursuit. This involves deepening our relationship with Him through prayer, study of the Bible, and obedience to His will. Embracing a lifestyle of sacrificial living means being willing to let go of anything that competes with our devotion to God. It's about making daily choices that reflect our commitment to Him. And this is including witnessing to others. Our life should reflect the supremacy, should reflect the surpassing value of knowing Christ. When others see joy and peace and purpose that we find in Him, it serves to a powerful testimony of His worthiness. Prioritizing Christ also means valuing what He values. We are called to invest in relationships and causes that reflect His love and grace. Paul has an all-in viewpoint. Jesus shouldn't be just a small part of your life. He should be not a secondary consideration, not a surplus. He should be all in all. For Paul, Jesus was everything. His relationship with Jesus was the central pillar on which his entire life was built and supported. Sometimes people think they are too intelligent to do what the Bible says. In fact, many don't even see a need to read the Word of God, the Bible. They think they know it all. Paul was a highly qualified person. He was trained in the best schools. We should have more of that hunger, more of hunger for the Word of God and for Christ. What we know is not enough. There's much more to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness." The wisdom of this world, what people think is so important, is nothing. It's unimportant in God's sight. Whatever theologians say and think is unimportant. What is needed is faith. That is what Paul said in Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." You see, it is not religion, it's not doing acts that saves you, but faith by the grace of God. All the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
All your learning, all your money will pass away. The only thing that matters is faith in the living God. That faith will have results, and these results must be seen. These results do not come by itself. It requires personal sacrifice. That sacrifice is your time and your willingness to learn from the Word of God. Your faith must have a life application. Paul stated that he longed to know Him and His power, of the power of His resurrection. Death is final. There is no coming back. When somebody dies, that's it. It's like when you put a tea bag into hot water, you can never separate it again. The tea and the water have become one. You cannot separate it. So for the resurrection to take place, it needs a divine power. A divine power. Jesus rose to life in a physical body with a spiritual abilities. The Apostle Paul's only goal in life was to know Jesus Christ experientially. He wanted to experience it. More than acquiring supernatural head knowledge, we should connect with Jesus on the closest possible relational level. Nothing else in life matters. Paul was willing to lose every earthly possession and pursuit for the sake of intimately knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing else is important but to know Jesus Christ. He considered everything else worthless, calling it garbage, compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. His supreme objective was to gain Jesus Christ. For Paul to experience a relationship with Jesus in this way meant sharing in the fellowship of his suffering, even if it meant death. In Galatians, Paul spoke of his union with Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20, we read, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live in the faith. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul was teaching this, and he was living this. As it says in 2 Corinthians 1:5, "For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will show us with his comfort through Christ." You see, this is something that today's believers do not like to hear. They pray for nice lives, for a lot of earthly blessings. Of course, it's nice to have a good car, to have a house, to have gold and jewelry. Yet, we should consider all that as rubbish. All that we should desire is a closeness to God. The early disciples went through a lot of persecution. Peter urged believers not to be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad for these trials. For these trials make you partners with Christ and his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. It's 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 2:5 to 11, it's that Paul told the believers to have the same attitude as a mindset of Christ. Our preparation for heaven involves becoming like Jesus, being conformed to his image. Jesus embodied humility and obedience to God as he walked the path to death. The very purpose God sent his Son was to suffer and die for us, that we might be saved. To be like Christ, we must enter the fellowship of his suffering and death, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. We should not be shocked to encounter trials in life, because following Jesus inevitably leads to the death, to the cross. We must be ready for, and we cannot hope to avoid, the downward path of the crucified. Matthew chapter 18, chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.' Taking up our cross means to be willing to surrender our lives and even to die for the sake of following Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't paint a rosy picture of discipleship. He said in Luke 9:24-25, "If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you are yourself lost or destroyed?" Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." But he also promises to never leave us alone. He will impart his resurrection power. Yes, you heard right. He will impart his resurrection power and give you the strength to endure and to overcome. There's nothing more important than the relationship that you will have with Jesus Christ. Paul knew all the power of the law, but he didn't have a relationship with God. Only when he gave himself up and surrendered to God, his outlook changed. We should follow him and surrender ourselves completely unto God. Whatever the world is offering to us is rubbish compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Our only aim should be to please God. To please God. To please God, that's all. You cannot please him if you go your own way. If you abandon the church, which is his body, which is his bride, we should have the same seal as the apostles had: live and die for Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let us live for Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As it says in Revelation 21, he said, "I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who believes, who thirsts." He said, "I will give the fountain of the power of life freely to him who thirsts." Amen. Mm-hmm.